Cody Coates.
Joe Coyote. Hi.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm all right. Week's going pretty good, and I'm supposed to get something tomorrow.
I know. We'll get to that. But let's build up to that. So last week, you know, I don't know. I feel like we've just been asking for it. You know, we started, you know, saying, you know, where is Forstall? I wanna know his whereabouts. And now we just can't seem to get away from his whereabouts. So last week we talked about how the Sony leaks revealed that he was a Snapchat visor. And we recorded that on a Thursday, as we do. And that Friday, more Forstall news comes out. And this is not secondhand news. This is firsthand news from the man's Twitter account, which, may I add, he has never used until this first tweet. He did not use it at Apple. And he's producing Broadway plays.
Yeah, he's a Broadway producer. Like Mike Bialystock. Do you get that reference at all?
No, I don't. Where's that from?
The Producers.
Oh, I'm sorry. I really should have seen that, but I did not get that. But yes, he, I don't know. The guy is, I feel like at this point he's just doing what he wants to do. Money is no object for this guy, and he's just going to do whatever makes himself happy.
He's having fun, yeah.
But I think him and his wife are both involved with this Broadway production. So the tweet says, "I'm thrilled to be co-producing the Broadway musical Fun Home," and he, you know, opening this Sunday. Bravo to the phenomenal team.
It's funny. Good for him.
Maybe it's coincidental that the Snapchat stuff leaked the day before, but I don't know. I feel like that may have been like the indicator for him to be like, you know what? Let me get back into the world.
I felt sorry for him though. Did you see, like? So I saw that he was on there. I was like, oh, let me go look at his profile. Tweets one. And then I was like, let me look and see what people are tweeting at him. And boy, were people nasty. He's like been on Twitter back in the spotlight for like 10 minutes. And I think the tweet I saw was like, so glad you left. Johnny Ive's designs are so much better. And I'm like, come on, guys. Like, he did some good stuff.
I would love for someone to gather the tweets from 24 hours after that and search for the word skeuomorphism and see how many times that came up in his replies.
Speaking of tweets.
Yeah. So you mentioned that Elon Musk tweeted in the beginning of this month that he was going to reveal something at the end of April, April 30th. And me and you were kind of speculating as to what it could be, and I'm pretty sure you may have called it. So,
back on top.
Yes, you are back. You're back on top for now. But apparently Elon is not very good at keeping secrets. So he revealed to, I believe it was some shareholders or people close to the company, a couple tidbits about this this April 30th event. He says that they will be unveiling, quote, a home and a utility scale battery, or home and utility scale batteries. What do you interpret that as?
I think it just means that, like, you put solar panels on your house, and if you don't use it, it goes into the battery. I mean, they've made really good batteries, and now this is a prime place to put them, right?
And he does own the majority stake in a solar company called Solar City. So, I mean, it would make sense if he partnered with Solar City, but...
Well, I mean, it's like, it can provide the ability for some homeowners to maybe go off the grid. I mean, when you think of places like Hawaii or California or the Southwest where they have tons of sunlight, they, you know, if you have a solar panel and you're not using that power, it goes back into the grid. Or now you can store it, and then when you're at work, your home battery charges up. And then when you get home, you use your home battery, and then you're not paying an electric bill, right?
Yeah, I think if this is going to be a huge money saver for a lot of consumers, that'd be great if it's like a low barrier to entry to get into it.
The problem is they're going to run into a lot of just problems with utility companies about people who want to stay on the grid and also have one of these. There's a lot of just legal and political loopholes to jump through. I mean, in Hawaii, people have been wanting to put solar panels on their house, but they can't because the, you know, the electric company there says, no, we can't handle it on the grid. And so then people can't actually install these things. So if people want to install this, they kind of either have to disconnect from their utility company or get approval from the utility company, which then goes up to government, you know, legislation.
That, yeah, that's a great point. A part of me hoped that this would have been more small scale battery technology, something that would innovate mobile devices. But I guess we'll still have to wait.
I don't think they don't want to step on those toes. They don't want to step on, you know, Apple and Google and Microsoft, people who are making, and Samsung, you know, people who are making mobile electronics.
But they're waiting for someone to introduce that. They're waiting for someone to introduce that type of battery technology that's going to last for days on end.
Yeah. And, I doubt it scales. I don't think this is anything new as like with battery longevity or, you know, lasting, but more just like it can handle supplying power for a house. But we'll see. It's exciting. I mean, yeah. I don't own a house, so like I said in the previous episode, I'm probably not going to be able to afford this or even need it.
So I have a question for you.
Yes.
Has your Apple Watch shipped?
So funny enough, I just got a notification about it like 2 hours ago. I had resolved myself to like, you know what? I guess I'm not going to get it on Friday like everyone else. I guess I'm just going to, you know, wait and get it when I get it. And I had kind of just given up. And then finally, right as I was texting you to sync up for showtimes, I got an email around 3 o'clock that it's finally shipping. So it's supposed to get here tomorrow.
So the expected delivery date is tomorrow, the 24th.
It will be delivered sometime between 10:30 and 3:30 tomorrow. That's what UPS says.
We're going to have a nice show next week because I can't wait to hear your initial thoughts because, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of at this point sick of reading people's thoughts on the Apple Watch. Like, I just can't take any more literature on people's impressions and thoughts and you know what the device is for. I'm kind of excited to hear what you're going to say in a basically a week's worth of use by the time we record next week.
Yeah, if I get it tomorrow, you know, at this point something terrible could go wrong. I'm hoping not. It said that it's going to be here tomorrow, so I'm just hoping that UPS isn't lying.
Yeah, and I know we've addressed this in past podcasts, but now that it is tomorrow, it really bums me out to not see any photos of people waiting online, to not, you know, to have that hype. And I understand that I trust Angela and Tim, and I know they're doing this for all the right reasons. But I will admit, I'm a little bummed out.
I don't know if they're doing it for all the right reasons. I think maybe they're probably forced into this corner from either, you know, even developers who wanted the watch couldn't get the watch. So they're like giving away a watch because there's all these developers who have written apps and haven't even been able to test their app on the device yet. There's obviously a supply chain problem. Like, they just don't have enough to go around. And so, you know, after all these pre-orders, they probably put what, like 3 watches in each store, you know, or like watches only in some stores and not others.
And the fact that they did a random lottery, which as we record this, I'm starting to see tweets coming in that people are starting to be notified that they can purchase this blue strapped sport. The fact that they have to do that is really telling of the supply constraint. That's, you know, they've never had to do that in the past. And the fact that they've had such an advanced development platform for a Gen 1 product is another kind of first for them in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's just, it's all new parts, right? They don't have parts that they can reuse from the last gen of Apple Watch. They can't continue selling the bands that they were already selling. Like, all of this has to be ramped up and new, and you know they couldn't have started it a year ago because then there have been supply chain leaks, right? So
two more things to note about the Apple Watch, and I want to move on from it. First, the App Store opened up today for the Apple Watch, and there's a reported 3,000 apps, which is pretty healthy.
Yeah, I mean, well, especially for having most of those developers probably haven't even actually tested it on a watch. So we'll see how good they are.
Yeah, it's actually very funny. I've seen many developers reach out to journalists. I'm seeing the at mentions fly by if I'm following both of them, being like, "Hey, do you mind trying out my watch app and letting me know if it's, you know, okay?
Make sure it doesn't crash when I open it."
And then the other thing to note is that they've been hesitant to release numbers as to how many they sold, and some are speculating that they won't even mention numbers until the next earnings call.
Well, I mean, their earnings call is coming up, I think, in the next couple weeks, right? Yeah. And I mean, they said on the, I think it was the previous earning call, that Apple Watch sales are just going to be, they're not going to be their own category. So they're going to be lumped into miscellaneous or whatever group.
Oh, really?
I don't even think we're going to get numbers on actually how many they sold. I mean, we'll see a spike in revenue in the different, you know, vertical of their business, but we won't be able to get an exact, like, how well it's actually doing. I don't think we'll get that for a while.
So I want to get into a discussion about email, because I know you have a lot to say about it, but I did want to touch on a recent rumor that came out, I believe today, that Apple may be finally considering to release an updated iPod Touch later in the year.
Why?
Well, I could tell you exactly why they need to do this. Is that that iPod Touch fifth generation is now, I think it's now
3 years old.
3 years old. I think the only reason they're updating it is so that when they come out with future OSs, like for example, iOS 9 is said to be very stability and all that. So maybe iOS 9 will work on the fifth gen. But when iOS 10 comes out, or whatever they're going to call it, there's no way that iPod is going to be able to handle it. So I think they're just kind of planning for the future. Do I think there's going to be anything special? Absolutely not. They probably may even keep the same body.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's worth them wasting their time in a keynote talking about the design or anything like that. You know, even if they just do a quiet bump of the processor and the camera, I'm completely okay with it. I still think there is a market for, you know, the kids who are too young to have an iPhone but still want,
and
are
addicted John to the Syracuse's.
Well, up in, you know, John Syracuse has finally moved into the iPhone 6, but yes, for the other John Syracuse type people in the world who are holding out with their flip phones.
Well, and it's probably like, it's just with the same reason they canceled the iPod Classic, of those parts are becoming more expensive to manufacture for specifically the iPod Touch than it is to just update it and replace it with the new parts from the new lines of phones.
That's a great point.
Yeah, I mean, it will be a telling point of if this rumor is false and they don't actually do anything to the iPod Touch. I think that's kind of a death bell for the iPod line, of they're not even going to update it, which means they'll probably run this current OS, like you said, or the new OS 9 that's coming out, but it probably won't hit the next one, which is kind of just like a yeah, we're done type thing.
So take us into email, Cody.
Well, so I just wanted to talk about this because I kind of ran into a weird email problem. So when iOS 8.3 came out, I was reading the release notes, and I read that now it does the Google two-factor authentication when you set up email, whereas before you had to create a device-specific password, and that was a pain in the ass. So when I got my iPhone 6, I was like, ugh, I don't want to set up this device-specific password for an old email address that I had, and so I just didn't use it. And I had it on my iPhone 5, and it was mostly spam, right, that was coming in. Really nothing of importance was coming into that email address for a while, so I was like, I'll just stop checking it. I'll check it every once in a while. But so then this Google two-factor thing started working in 8.3. So I was like, oh, let me see how this works, see how they've integrated and what they do. So I sign in with that email. I hadn't checked it in since I bought the iPhone 6, so 9 months or something like that. So I had thousands of emails that were all pretty much spam, but there were a few that were actually people reaching out to me about, you know, things that I needed to reply to. And so those emails were like a month old. And so I had to kind of reply and be like, hey, sorry, I don't really check this email anymore. Here's the new email I use. Sorry that this is like a month, 2 months late. In response. And so it just kind of had me thinking of like, how do you handle that? Because I know we all have like our AOLs and our Yahoos and, you know, old Gmail addresses that we use that we've kind of maybe moved on. Like this was a Gmail address, but I've moved on to like my own domain, Google Apps hosted email. So I was just kind of wondering like, how do you handle that? How do you handle your old email addresses?
That's a great question. So I'm going to embarrass myself a little bit just talking about my old
Do you have an AOL email address on your iPhone right now?
No. Okay, the reason I say I'm going to embarrass myself because I'm going to tell you the handle of it because I do not use it anymore and people can hack into it or who knows.
Everyone, send Joe an email. Here we go.
So my handle... oh God, I don't know if I even want to say.
Oh this. Yes, you want to say it on the air. You know you do.
So come my on. Handle for email was JC8HG, and as you can tell, I obviously made the email when I was 8 years old, and right. It was JC8HG, and it was an AOL account, and I guess I will tell you what it stands for.
Obviously, I was about to say I got to know what this HG is.
I don't even want to say this, Cody. Okay, so I was very into hip hop style rap back then. So it was JC Joseph Coyote, 8 my age, and HG was Homie G because Homie G was a term back then.
That's cute.
It's very like I'm
that's
literally
adorable, Joe.
Blushing in red right now.
I'm blushing with you. I'm blushing with you right now for that choice.
So, back when there was AOL, email wasn't really a thing because I was so young and no one really used email to correspond. So my AOL account really never had a problem moving away from that. Once I had broadband internet, we realized that like AOL is a scam. They're charging for this software that no one needs.
But you get the free discs with thousands of minutes.
And we were like, okay, so what are we going to do? So at the time, we got broadband a little bit late, so like 2003. At the time, we were like, all right, what do we go to? And Gmail wasn't a thought. I didn't know anybody with that, but everyone had Hotmail addresses. So since it was the same handle, I moved the JC8HG handle to Hotmail. And this was the time of the 2000s where just you got inundated with spam. Spam filters were not very good. But I did use that email for a while, and it was coming to a point where it was just like thousands, hundreds of emails per day, thousands of emails per week, mostly spam. It didn't filter it out. I did not know really what to do. It was tough for me to keep track of like legitimate emails. So I eventually...
You got
to
start over.
Yeah. You absolutely got to start over and commit email bankruptcy. And I...
Email bankruptcy. That's a good term. That's exactly what I did. Yeah.
And I was lucky enough to move to Gmail. I wouldn't say I'm a Gmail early adopter. I mean, there were people that were on Gmail when it was literally in beta. But I, you know, us being the nerd that I was, I caught wind of Gmail before it got quote unquote popular. So I moved to a Gmail address, and I had to do that thing that I did that, you know, people wind up doing is you get everybody on your contact list and you say, hey, you know, this is my new email address. Now, I will say...
I didn't want to do that. It's so gross.
Let me talk to you, Cody, because I understand why you won't. I will say that me doing that back in, I don't know, let's just say I signed up for Gmail in 06. I really have no clue when I signed up for Gmail. But me doing it back then had less, I don't know, consequences. Because email, like, when you're younger, email's not very important. But when you're older, email's really important. Like, my email is where I get all my notifications for my bills. My email is where I get, my email is everything. So, you know, it's literally like having a mailbox at the end of your driveway. So, I had to do that. I had to send that mass email. And, it was one of those things where I sent it all out. And then for the first month, I checked my old email because, of course, my grandmother would just not disregard that, and she would just send it to my my old email. But it was one of the things where after you keep, you know, replying, you know, and then the other thing is you have to go through the rigorous task of switching over your email in every service that you use.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to let you speak, Cody, because I know I'm monologuing here, but let me just fast forward a little bit. So then I become an Apple fanboy, and then I get a Mobile Me account, and then I'm like, oh, I'm going to go all Apple, you know?
Dude, same exact problem.
Apple all the way. So then right. I go and I do my Apple email, my me.com email, which eventually got turned into an iCloud email. And then I would think it was right before things got switched or right after iCloud. I was like, you know what? I don't want to be stuck in. I actually don't want to be stuck in the Apple email ecosystem. So here's where I'm currently at. And this is not the nicest setup, but here's where I'm at. I switched all of my logins to go to my Gmail, but instead of me saying, hey guys, I know, blah, 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 I forward all of my me, anything that goes to my me.com, aka iCloud, forwards to my Gmail. So if, say, someone by mistake emailed that, or say I forgot to move a service over, that gets forward to my Gmail and I can address it. But it's a little different than your situation because my iCloud email was not spammed or anything like that. It was pretty clear. So that's where I am currently. And now I'm going to take a breath and let you speak.
Yeah, I mean, my email kind of bankruptcy situation is fairly the same. I mean, I have an old AOL. I'll tell you what, you know, just because you exposed yourself, you know, you were out there. I'll tell you what my AOL was. I actually didn't set it up. My mother set it up. She set up email addresses for all of us. And so, of course, so super corny, right? So my birthday is on July 4th, and so of course it was like firecracker something something at AOL.com. You know, I should I wish I could log into that just to see what's so there. But yeah, firecracker something something. And then of course I also had a Hotmail account that I used as a kid, and then I realized maybe I should actually, you know, I don't even remember what that was, but I know it didn't have my name in it, and I was like, maybe I should like have an email address that has my name in it. And so that's when I got, when I switched to this Gmail address that brought up this whole thing. And then I also had the Mobile Me. I was like, man, I got this iPod Touch. I love Apple. I want all my things to sync, even though I don't have a Mac. You know, shows how much of an Apple fanboy I am that I signed up for Mobile Me. And then Mobile Me got discontinued, but I still had the email address. And so now I'm still using that, my original Gmail. I'm still using the iCloud Mobile Me one. I have my personal domain email, which is hooked up with Google Apps, which I use as my main email address now. But then I also have, I went to NYU, so I have my NYU email address as well. So I have all these emails, and I'm not going to ever, I'm not going to remember to log into these things and check them. So I need to have them on my phone to see when the emails come in, just in case something happens. But then I have all this spam to deal with, and the mail app does a terrible job. I can't really mark spam. I don't ever check email on my phone or on my Mac. I always check it on my phone. So now I'm like, I just, am living with this spam, and I'm kind of living in this anxious terror of, oh my God, my wrist is just going to be like tapping all the time now. And I mean, it's weird because I know when all the emails are going to come now. Now it's been a few weeks. I know what time of day to expect email. So I know when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to have like 3 or 4 emails, all spam, around, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock, I'm going to get an email, ignore it because I know it's spam. Later that night around 7, ignore the email that just buzzed on my phone because I know it's spam.
But is it spam or promotion?
Well, it's promotion from stuff that I've signed up for. Where
so
I'm
you got to
like,
unsubscribe. Nah. You got to take that day and just unsubscribe to everything.
So this leads me to my second point. I've done that and I'm still getting emails. And you know who the biggest culprit is? Twitter. I've said on my settings page on Twitter, don't frickin' talk to me. Like, don't say anything to me ever. And I still get these emails every day about like, this is what your network is talking about. Something, something, something. And I'm like, Twitter, I don't care. Stop emailing me. I don't know how to handle all this. It's email's terrible.
Does the iCloud one get a lot of spam?
Some spam.
Okay, but if it's not a ton, then you should be forwarding that iCloud to your Google Apps.
Yeah,
and
I know.
So that's like your fourth step. So that gets rid of one inbox for you to check, because the unified inbox is a I don't know, I'm not a huge fan of it. I actually like to check my inboxes separately.
See, I always have it in a unified inbox.
See, the one with the Gmail, though, the Gmail one that has a ton of spam, I mean, honestly, if there is nothing important that you use that for, you should probably just abandon it completely.
Well, I did, but then I checked it, like, this month, and then I had, like, emails from, like, important emails that I needed to respond to.
You know what you should do? I got an idea. So on Gmail, you can set, like, I'm an on-vacation notice, like an on-vacation message, and you should do that, but instead of saying you're on vacation, they'll get an auto-reply email saying, you know, I've abandoned this account. If you need to get in contact with me, go to these emails.
Yeah, I'm too lazy. That's the problem.
That's the thing. You got to hunker down one day and do it.
Just out of interest, like, are you an Inbox Zero kind of guy?
Nope. No, I'm not.
See, I have emails that are like, they've been there for like a year because it's something I need to do and I'm just too damn lazy to do it. It's like I need to like download these folders from a Dropbox folder because I want to put them in my iPhoto library, but I'm just too lazy to do it.
Well, I'm not that bad. I'm just going through my email. I'm in my Gmail right now and it says I have 7 emails. Now, that's actually a lot for me. I usually like to keep it in more like 5. And I guess if I want to go into it a little bit, the reason I have 7 emails is any bills that I know I have to pay, I leave them in there until they get paid. I almost use it like a to-do list in that fashion.
Oh, that's exactly how it is for me. It's a to-do list.
And then anything I need to respond to that I haven't responded to. Like right now, out of the 8 emails that I have in my inbox, one of them is from a human being. 7 of them are from different, you know, things notifying me of bills or payments or something of like that nature. So that's kind of what I use it for. So it's very rare that I get down to an actual inbox 0. And I have no desire to.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because it's this tricky balance of I want email. There's email that I want to see when it comes in. I don't necessarily want to interact with it, but I want to know when it's there. But then there's also a ton of other email that I don't really want to see, but I still get for some reason. But it's hard to like filter and balance and sort all of this stuff because they are spanned across all these email addresses. But it's just a pain in the ass to consolidate. And you know what really is holding me up is frickin' Apple IDs. Like my me.com is my iCloud email address, so all of my backup and syncing and all that stuff is connected there. And then I have this other email address which I use for email, and then there's one more which I like started when I first got my first iPod Classic and I started buying stuff on iTunes. And so that's my like purchasing Apple ID. And it's just like
Sounds like, just like a headache, man.
It is. And but like, goodness. I can't declare bankruptcy on those things because I need those email addresses. And but they have all this junk email and I'm filtering it out. But then, yeah, it's a pain. Email sucks. Can we get, please, Google Wave, come back, and, please.
Oh, no. Oh, all right. Well, I had one more funny story, but I will have two more funny stories. I was like, this was like the really peak of me becoming like a nerd. When Google Wave came out, I signed up as fast
Loved
as I
it.
Can. To What? I thought it was terrible.
I had no one to talk to.
Yeah, I had no one to talk to. And it was supposed to be like this collaboration thing.
And I'm like, great, collaborating with myself, setting up some waves, sending it to myself. I had like one friend that I could send it to.
I got the account. I was super excited. And then I never used it again because there was nothing. I had no use for it.
It had no critical mass. It was a cool idea, but just nothing there.
A little ahead of its time. One more funny story about the back in the AOL days. I just thought of this, and this is such a sign of the times. It's unbelievable. So, like I said, I was JCADHD, but I will have you. That was not my first AOL screen name. Dun dun dun.
First
AOL screen name was JC7HT. Now you ask yourself, why did you change it to HT? And it's not because of the obvious. Because
you're a 7 year old and you forgot your password.
It's not because of that. This is a more elaborate story. So, this is, you know, right in the beginning of the internet. I just started instant messaging with friends. And I'm 7 years old, so I'm very young. And, I was internet. I was instant messaging with a friend from school one day, and I had a friend who was ahead of his time technologically. So we're both 7 years old, but he already knew how to code a website. And remember, this is back in the dial-up days. So he had a website back in the dial-up days.
Dial-up.
7 years old. So he was running Zelda fan fiction. And I didn't really know much about Zelda. I know, shame on me. I was never, you know, one of those. I don't know. I never really got into it. But for some reason, I decided to like write a fan fiction because I was very young and I just needed to do something on the internet. Long story short, I sent it to him via email and he puts it up on his website. And now remember, I'm seven. This is probably like 95, 96. I don't know. And he puts it up on the internet and he puts my last name on the internet on this webpage. Now, this is comical because obviously almost every human being has their first and last name on the internet. In many places, you can Google them. It's literally nothing. So I was very proud that this, whatever, I don't even know. I forget what I did. I don't even know if I wrote something, whatever. It's on the internet. I was very proud. So I bring my mom in because my mom's a computer teacher. And I show her it, and then she sees at the bottom of the page that my last name was on the internet. And she literally, I cannot even tell you how she literally acted like I brought her in the room and showed her pornography as a 7 year old child. She was flipping out. First of all, she had me like contact this kid in many fashions as I can back then for him to take it down. Like, she was so too good to have him take it down. And then of course, in this type of reaction that she's having, I'm like crying hysterically as a 7 year old. and then long story short, since he like put my last name and I put my AOL name next to it, JC7HG. So like, remember, this is back when like perverts were like on chat rooms. Because remember AOL chat rooms?
Right.
So She then had to call AOL and they had to get my name changed and it was a whole thing. And
that's how you became JCHHG.
Yes, this is how I became JC8HG. And man, it's a great story. Thinking back, let's move on to I would say actually
Fi Project Fi
Project Fi. I guess they were trying to do a play on word of like hi-fi.
Yeah.
Because the title of the blog post is Say Hi to Fi.
I read it and I was like, bad decision.
I rolled my eyes like 14 times. I was like, really, Google? So Project Fi, if you aren't aware of it, is...
Or, well, all I could think of was iPod Hi-Fi when I read Say Hi to Fi, and I was like, oh boy, do they not remember the iPod Hi-Fi?
Yeah, exactly. So they're trying to be their own carrier, or the fancy word is MVNO. It's funny.
Wait, what does that stand for?
What'd you say?
MVNO?
It's a mobile virtual network operator, I believe. And they're trying to be their own carrier, which they're actually not. They're actually leeching off of Sprint and T-Mobile's backend for LTE. But essentially, it's a, I believe, a $20 for unlimited text, talk, the usual stuff. And then an additional $10 per gig. And the pricing is really not the draw. What they would, the draw to this, and to me the most compelling feature, is they are partnering with Qualcomm, or I don't know how you pronounce their name, to have them manufacture these chips and this technology. And what this technology does is it has this seamless radio transition switching. So for example, it will switch from Wi-Fi to LTE, back to Wi-Fi to 3G, back to LTE, in a seamless fashion with no dropping. Which there's really nothing out there like that right now. So for example, you'll even see it on the iPhone sometimes, and not in everything, but like say you toggle off Wi-Fi or toggle on Wi-Fi in the middle of, I don't know, a video load or something. Sometimes it will hang up. Sometimes it will make it reload. But this technology is going to not only switch between the two, but it's also going to scan for open networks, millions of open networks. And even though these networks are open and unsecure, Google is going to not only allow you to leech off those networks, but it will encrypt your web surfing so that none of your stuff is getting, you know, out there, even though, I mean, come on, it's Google. Them themselves are going to be...
Oh, they know. They know what you're doing. Don't worry. And they know where you are now.
And right now, it's just like a limited beta, and they're only doing it with Nexus 6 customers. What do you think?
It's fine. I mean, my only worry is that it's Google, and it's on a Google phone, on a Google OS, using Google services. It's becoming a little monolithic and almost scarily so. It's a great plan. Like, I mean, I would switch to this if I, you know, if it ran on my iPhone, I think. I thought about switching carriers. I mean, I'm on AT&T. It's expensive as all hell. Just for, you know, like I use, I don't know, 5 minutes of talk a month and then probably barely any text messages because everything's an iMessage. And I mean, I do use a lot of data, but it's, I looked at, there's another carrier that I advertised on a bunch of other podcasts. What was that?
Ting.
Ting. Yes, exactly. I looked at Ting and I signed up for their like, hey, we're switching to GSM and you can get a SIM card and everything. And then it's kind of a hassle to change carriers. And it really wasn't that much of a delta in price difference. This might be, it's just, you know, Nexus 6. And it's all of this that Google is doing is approaching scary levels of how much, like from end to end, how much they control the experience. I mean, it's,
well, yeah, they have Google Fiber.
You know, a carrier, the phone, the OS, yeah, the Wi-Fi that you're on, then the apps that you're using, and then, you know, just your gateway to the internet of search and your email. Like, they have lots of things. And I mean, I guess, you know, Android or whoever could throw back and say, well, you let Apple have all of that access. And I guess that's true, but I don't know. The advertising model of Google seems a little more sinister and scary, to say the least.
Like I said, the most interesting part of this is the fast internet switching technology, and I hope other companies jump on it. I'm curious to see how far they can go, because right now Google Fiber is actually pretty popular because they offer pretty unreal speeds at a good cost, and they're now spreading across the United States. They're starting to they started in Austin, but they're now looking. I think they're now in like 5 or 6 states, and not the entire state, but it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, well, with Google, like they're so smart. They do amazing things. It's just, what's the cost? You know, like how much data, how much personal information do you really want to give them? Looking at the blog post, there's a link to say like learn more at fi.google.com. You can't go to that website without signing into your Google account. You can't learn more other than the blog post.
Really? I guess I did not know that.
Or at least it won't let me, at least. But T-Mobile and Sprint for their LTE?
I know, it's funny. They said like one of the largest networks, and in my head I'm like, you mean the two at the bottom partnered with?
I mean, maybe T-Mobile's gotten better. I don't know. I've always been on AT&T, but I've never really heard or experienced good things with Sprint or T-Mobile.
So, Cody, what do you think about calling it a show?
Yeah. The show notes, you can find those at diagnosticsandusage.com/14. You can find us in iTunes, you can rate us there, that would be really nice, and you can also find us on Patreon if you would like to support the show.
Yes, and we don't want to mention Patreon a ton of times, but since it is towards the end of the month, we are having an exclusive after show that's going to be posted at the end of each month. So if you are a Patreon supporter pledging $2 or more, look out for that very soon. So Cody, where can people find you on the internet?
At CP Coates on Twitter.
And you can find me at Twitter as well, at Joe Caiati, C-A-I-A-T-I, and I write at joecaiati.info. Cody, you have a great week. Enjoy your Apple Watch, and I'll talk to you soon.
Adios.